What if you could cut the power consumption of one of the most energy-intensive manufacturing processes on Earth by 90%? For semiconductor fabs, that's not a hypothetical. A technology called nano-imprint lithography is making it a reality, and it could completely reshape the global chip race. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a major theme. Nanotechnology is graduating from the research lab to the factory floor. For years, we've heard about the potential of these materials. Now we're seeing them in commercial products, powering new manufacturing methods, and, critically, attracting new stringent regulations. We'll cover how new nanocomposites are changing aerospace and automotive, the rise of graphene in energy storage, and what the latest EU and OECD rules mean for your supply chain.
Let's start with materials, Troy. We're seeing the term nanocomposites appear more frequently, especially in aerospace and automotive. What exactly are we talking about here?
Think of it as reinforcing a material at the microscopic level. Nanocomposites are traditional materials like polymers or carbon fiber, but with nanoscale fillers like carbon nanotubes or graphene integrated into their structure. This creates a final product that is significantly stronger, more durable, and lighter than the original. For example, adding graphene to carbon fiber reinforced plastics, or CFRPs, can maintain strength while cutting weight even further.
And why is this hitting the headlines this week? What's the global significance?
It's about a convergence of pressures. Both aerospace and automotive industries are being squeezed by environmental regulations demanding decarbonization and higher fuel efficiency. Lighter vehicles are a direct path to that. Simultaneously, companies like Graphene Leaders Canada are now commercializing graphene-enhanced electroless nickel coatings that boost corrosion resistance by up to 30%, showing these technologies are production-ready.
Okay, so how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For an Airbus or a Boeing or a BMW or Ford, this is a direct competitive opportunity. Integrating nanocomposites into structural components, body panels, or even EV battery casings means lighter, more efficient products. It's a clear differentiator. The threat is for manufacturers who are slow to adopt. If a competitor can offer a vehicle with a 10% longer range or an aircraft with lower fuel burn because of these materials, that's a significant market advantage.
And for the trading companies and distributors in that supply chain?
They need to be proactive. First, identify and qualify the new suppliers of these advanced materials, like the graphene from Hydrograph's New Texas facility or the carbon nanotubes from Kumho Petrochemical. Second, understand the handling requirements. These aren't simple commodity plastics. Sourcing partnerships will become more technical. Market timing is key. Getting these materials into your catalog now positions you as an innovator.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives?
Your engineering and procurement teams should be actively testing and validating these new nanocomposites now. Initiate pilot projects to retrofit components with graphene-enhanced coatings or to design new parts with nano-reinforced polymers. This isn't R&D for 2030. This is a product development priority for the next 18 months.
Troy, let's shift to semiconductors. We've talked for years about the incredible expense and complexity of ASML's EUV lithography machines, but now we're seeing a challenger technology, nano-imprint lithography, or NIL. What is it and how does it work?
NIL is a fundamentally different approach. Instead of using complex and expensive laser optics to project a circuit pattern onto a silicon wafer, NIL works like a high-tech stamp. A template with the desired nanoscale circuit design is physically pressed into a resin on the wafer. UV light then cures the resin, locking the pattern in place.
And the big news is from Japan's Dai Nippon Printing, or DNP. Why is their development so important this week?
It's the sheer efficiency. DNP claims their NIL process can reduce the power consumption of this critical chip-making step by a factor of 10, a 90% reduction compared to conventional methods. As fabs work on sub-10 nanometer nodes, the energy required for traditional lithography is skyrocketing. NIL offers a path to creating advanced chips with a dramatically lower cost and carbon footprint. And we're seeing Shanghai-based startups like Prinano claim they can use it to cut photonic chip costs by 90%.
This sounds like a huge threat to the current market leaders. How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers, especially those building or planning new fabs?
It presents a massive strategic choice. For a company like Intel or a European consortium building a new facility, the standard path is to invest billions in ASML's high-NA EUV machines. NIL, championed by companies like Canon and DNP, offers a potentially disruptive alternative. It means simpler, cheaper equipment, and drastically lower operating expenses. U.S. and European firms now have a credible non-EUV path to consider for certain types of chips, which could lower the barrier to entry and increase regional competitiveness.
What should trading companies and distributors in the semiconductor equipment space be thinking about?
They need to prepare for a more fragmented market. For decades, the high-end lithography market had one dominant player. Now they need to build relationships and technical expertise with NIL equipment providers like Canon. Sourcing will involve new supply chains for NIL templates and specialized resins. This is a chance to get in early on a technology that could see explosive growth, especially for manufacturing optoelectronics, memory, and photonic chips.
Bottom line for an executive in the tech industry?
If you are involved in semiconductor manufacturing, investment, or supply, you must have a formal technology assessment of nano-imprint lithography on your agenda for this quarter. Understand its capabilities, its limitations, and which chip applications it's best suited for. Ignoring NIL is no longer an option. It's a potential blind spot that could cost you dearly in capital and operational efficiency.
Let's talk about the material that seems to be everywhere, graphene. We're now seeing dedicated large-scale production facilities being built. What's the latest development?
The big news comes from Hydrograph Clean Power, which just announced it's building its first large-scale graphene production facility in Belleville, Texas. This is a major step in domesticating the supply chain for a critical advanced material in North America. They've secured a long-term supply of acetylene gas, a key precursor, signaling a serious commitment to commercial-scale output.
And we're seeing this demand bubble up globally, right?
Absolutely. In South Korea, Kumho Petrochemical is accelerating mass production of few-walled carbon nanotubes, a related material, specifically for EV batteries. Meanwhile, in Europe, the Belgian company Belinus is set to launch its Energy Wall G1 in the first quarter of 2026. This is a 16-kilowatt graphene supercapacitor for home and commercial use, promising tens of thousands of charge cycles, far beyond what lithium-ion can offer.
So for U.S. and European manufacturers, particularly in the automotive and energy sectors, what does this shift from lab scale to factory scale production mean?
It means graphene is now a viable, scalable component. For EV battery manufacturers like Volkswagen's PowerCo, which just signed a supply deal with OCLCL for nanotubes, it means access to additives that increase energy density and charging speed. For industrial manufacturers, it means coatings like GMG's Thermal XR, which just passed 30,000 hours of corrosion testing, are commercially available to improve energy efficiency and equipment lifespan. The threat is relying on older materials while competitors gain a performance edge.
What about the trading companies that supply these industries?
The game is shifting from sourcing raw chemicals to sourcing engineered solutions. Distributors need to understand the different types of graphene and nanotubes, single wall versus multi-wall, powder versus dispersion. They need to partner with producers like Hydrograph and OCLCL to provide customers not just a material, but the technical support to integrate it. This is a high-value consultative sale, not a bulk commodity transaction.
So the actionable insight is to go beyond just sourcing.
Precisely. Executives should direct their teams to build a portfolio of graphene and nanotube suppliers and to invest in the in-house expertise to help their customers use these materials effectively. The opportunity isn't just in trading graphene, it's in enabling the next generation of batteries, composites, and coatings.
With all these new nanomaterials entering commercial supply chains, the regulators are stepping in. It seems like a wave of new rules just hit. What's the big picture, Troy?
The big picture is coordinated global action. On July 2, 2026, the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, published two crucial new test guidelines. These are TG127 for measuring the dustiness of nanomaterials and updated rules for assessing their toxicity in water and sediment. These are the new international standards for safety assessment.
And we're seeing this reflected at a regional level as well.
Exactly. The EU has just published revised guidance for nanomaterials in cosmetics, strengthening the requirements under its existing regulations. This adds new specific safety tests for things like solubility, cellular uptake, and endocrine disruption. At the same time, Canada enacted new Occupational Health and Safety, or OHS, laws in 2026, mandating that any company handling engineered nanomaterials must comply with the CSA Z12885 standard for exposure control.
For U.S. and European manufacturers using any of these advanced materials we've discussed, this sounds like a major compliance challenge.
It is.
This is no longer a gray area. If your products contain nanomaterials, whether in a coating, a plastic composite, or a cosmetic, you are now subject to a much more rigorous safety and reporting framework. The competitive threat is a product recall or market access denial because your safety dossier is incomplete. The opportunity is for companies that can demonstrate robust compliance, as this will become a key factor in supplier selection.
What should trading companies and distributors be doing right now?
They have a critical gatekeeping role. They must demand this new OECD-compliant safety data from their upstream suppliers. If you are importing nanomaterials or products containing them into Europe or Canada, the regulatory burden will fall on you. You need to update your supplier contracts to mandate compliance with these new 2026 standards. Ignorance will not be an excuse.
What is the single most important action for an executive to take?
Mandate an immediate, cross-functional audit of your supply chain for any product containing nanomaterials. Your regulatory, EHS, and procurement teams need to work together to identify every material, contact every supplier, and verify that they can provide the specific safety test data required by the new OECD, EU, and Canadian regulations. This is an urgent risk management imperative.
All right, Troy, let's distill this week into a strategic summary. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, advanced materials are no longer theoretical. Graphene coatings, carbon nanotubes, and nanocomposites are commercially available and being deployed now. U.S. and European executives must evaluate these materials not as future R&D, but as immediate opportunities for product differentiation and performance gains.
Second, the semiconductor landscape is shifting.
That's right. Nano-imprint lithography presents a credible, energy-efficient alternative to the EUV-dominant model. This could lower the cost of chip manufacturing and change the strategic calculus for building new fabs in the U.S. and Europe. Watch this space very closely, as it could disrupt the entire equipment supply chain.
And finally, a point you just drove home, regulation has arrived.
Yes, the new OECD, EU, and Canadian safety guidelines for nanomaterials published in mid-2026 are not suggestions. They are the new cost of doing business. Companies that fail to ensure their supply chains are compliant with these stringent testing and exposure control standards face significant market access risk. Proactive compliance is now a competitive necessity.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for the analysis.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for more Troy Technical Intelligence, where we translate technological change into business advantage. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update.